Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Tolkinson and Rob Deering. Good morning, it's Running Commentary, and once again we give our best to the calves of Paul Tolkinson and welcome a friend of the show in his place. Welcome back, Anne Lieutenant.
Hello, Rob Deering.
Hi, I just saying that I didn't know whether we should share this with you, but last time Anne was on, we both just ran off like rats out of a trap.
Yeah.
So today we're definitely taking it slower.
This is the moment now to not let that get... That's get right. Ahead of ourselves.
It mustn't happen, particularly as we're starting. We're on Hackney Marshes, and we're literally starting on the start line of the parkrun.
Yeah.
So it would be very easy to run it as close as we could get to sub 20-minute pace, and that would make the conversation more like this. But you know, me and Paul did once podcast Hackney Marshes parkrun, and we let's get on here.
Oh yeah.
And we were. I mean, we must have been pretty fit at the time. We were certainly pretty annoying. Sorry, I blocked you. Pretty annoying at the time. Because we recorded ourselves chatting and ran slower than we were park running at the time, but much faster than we normally podcast. And kind of chatting away and overtaking people. We couldn't come back for a few weeks after that because we were so tiresome.
You were so tiresome, sorry.
Well, you know, because there's people like giving it their best podcast and we're kind of breezing past saying, so anyway, it was in Tesco on Tuesday.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Very annoying.
Anyway, welcome back.
Lovely.
How's your life?
Yeah, my life is grand. Fine, I was glad to be invited back. Because the last time I was on, I talked a lot about injuries that I'd had.
Yeah, and I think you've been off sick since then.
Well, yeah, but my fear is that I'll... Because I thought maybe it was a bit, you know, self-involved chat for me to be going on with.
Oh, not at all. I mean, this is, you know, injury commentary is what we've become now.
Yeah.
So it's a language we speak. And sure. Also, you're back on the track.
Oh man, we were in the wrong place here.
Oh, sorry, everyone.
Hello.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah.
There's a man in the trees in a yellow soldier's jacket like Sergeant Pepper. Or like a Gene album cover. I wonder what they're filming. Hot video or something.
Yeah, you don't expect to find that down here.
No, and I saw someone out the corner of my eye and I thought it'll be just like a runner or a sports person. It'd be like a photo shoot. And he looked like the blooming nutcracker.
Let's get down here.
Do it good. So, yeah, so you were... Take us back to last time you came along, you were assessing a foot injury.
Yeah. Guess what happened there? Kept running on it. Got worse. It's got worse.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a doctor. I can't even crack that code.
So, I don't know if you have this, but you feel a bit of a knob going to the doctor with a running injury.
Yeah, right.
Because...
They say stop running.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem necessary to be doing running.
Yeah.
You know, so, and my doctor, which obviously I won't say who it is, but can be a little bit, I've had experiences where they've been a bit dismissive before about injuries that aren't, don't have blood. So.
And it didn't lately happen to do with knives or broken glass.
Anyway, one Saturday morning, I was unable to put weight on my foot. I said, oh, fuck this. Going to A&E with my foot.
That's fair.
Went down.
Not being able to walk on it justifies a doctor.
I thought that. So I went down, fully expecting to be, you know, get a telling off for, you know, turning up to something as serious as A&E with a running injury.
Yeah.
And could not have had a better experience in Homerton Hospital. Young doctor, really a runner himself.
Right, that helps.
Really into running. Got me an x-ray.
Great.
Which straight off showed I didn't have a proper fracture. It was still possible I had a stress fracture.
Right.
At that point in it. And then, because he was so into running, he said to me, you're really lucky, but there's a physio coming on duty now, and he said he'll come down and talk to you about your running.
Excellent.
So,
God, service.
Yeah, and the doctor was interested. He was kind of curious about this kind of mystery pain that we couldn't identify. So then the physio came along, and he got me in my bare feet.
Sorry, that lady's taking a picture, because look at the other side there. There's a young Corman and a heron and another Corman.
Look!
That's really something.
Oh, my God.
I'm glad she was taking a picture. I wouldn't have seen that. That one on the left.
Yeah.
It's really unusual. It's got like a red head. Apparently that's just a young Corman, but that's pretty, pretty weird. Cool. So sorry, I was just going to say that you've got actual luxury in terms of that curiosity. Just having someone come along who wants to solve the problem.
The physio said, got me out onto the corridor. He was like, I want you to run up and down the corridor there. So I was in my bare feet in Homerton Hospital. And
did you get a PB? Got my corridor PB.
Yeah, it was a Strava segment. but I managed to get the crown. But he gave me some injuries. And then, on top of that was already brilliant. On top of that, sent me down to another clinic that kind of is down at Stratford near the Olympic Stadium.
Yep.
And there's a sports medicine doctor down there. Who only does sports injuries.
Gosh.
Down there. Like, he did say the words Olympic in the conversation, so that's a very special moment.
So
as a runner.
These hands on your feet have rubbed Mo Farris.
Yeah. So the guy examined me down there a few weeks later, went and got an MRI. MRI.
Fantastic.
So,
I mean, obviously, not fantastic, because you've got to go in a giant magnet and it's all quite scary and everything, but that's good. That's top-notch NHS, right?
It really is. I mean, I don't want to, because I'll be honest, when I moved over here, I kind of didn't get it, the level of feeling around the NHS in this land. And I thought it was, I don't know, I kind of
England
felt it was a little bit sentimental for some reason.
Yeah, it's a little bit sort of of a piece with Winston Churchill and Blitz Spirit.
Yeah, and people's personal experiences are very nice. People who work in the NHS.
Yes.
Which, you know, that's totally how I would feel as well.
Yeah.
But I got it then. I was like, oh my God. It was like it was their job to make sure I was well.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if people take it for granted here, but it's definitely not the case in other parts of the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think you're a hassle when you come with an injury.
Yeah,
bet it's not everyone's experience across the UK.
No.
But it was just an instance of where things are well and run right.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I think there's an element
doctors because who want to do things right are allowed to do them right.
Yeah, I think also because the NHS has been squeezed down the years, you know, for whatever reason. I'm not getting into the politics of it, but, you know, it's an expensive business.
Yeah.
I think that... Oh, let's go. Let's stop this path. No, it's okay.
All right.
We're just to explain what the hell's happening, we're going along by the river and it's brilliant and gorgeous, but our path is gradually disappearing and our run is getting a lot more like the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
Like we're creeping through the jungle trying to find the ancient cave. But it's pretty gorgeous though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in the ongoing tightness of the NHS, that once a doctor who knows you've got a genuine problem has got you on the books, they want to make sure you get the best of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They want you in the system so they can use the system for you.
Yeah, there's a trail, of a paper trail going on.
Yeah, exactly.
They feel accountable then.
Then, once you've been through that system, they vaccinate you. I've got a list of people here, vaccinate them. So.
Yeah.
So when was your MRI?
That was about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, actually, this would be maybe something I could get feedback from listeners if they have any. But the instructions from the doctor after a diagnosis of kind of stress and bruised boning was the
right
eventual thing. But we go back up.
Yeah.
They said... you can go back, but you need to be very careful at the rate in which you increase your running.
Right.
So he mentioned this thing, this 10% rule,
yeah,
which I'd seen before,
yeah,
and other things.
I've generally had it
in my head, but when you try and stick to it, it's really annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a good sign in a way, but also I've really got the fear because it's nice to have you here this week, but part of Paul's time off at the moment is his commitment to this and his general it'll be all right mentality. That'll be all right.
Yeah.
And I've been saying, no, you stay home, otherwise you're going to run. It's going to hurt your leg. And it'll be down to the podcast, you know. Anyway, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm
Was that
fine.
The foot in question?
No, it was just a little...
Just a tree root.
Just put my weight on the wrong place. Hi.
Sorry, thanks. So basically, I've swapped one person's leg injury that this podcast is exacerbating for someone else's foot injury.
Yeah.
Great.
You should... Well, you have so much...
Did you get in trouble with the 10% crowd?
Well...
Did it lead to a culture war?
I'm trying to stick to it. But, like, mathematically... I'm not adding up, really, because, like, say, for example, when Paul comes back,
yep,
he's starting from zero running,
yep,
10% to zero, zero.
Right.
So where do you begin?
You do the math.
That's my first question. And then, like, just say your first run, it's not going to be a 10-miler.
No.
You're going to go, I did three, my first run back.
Yep.
Which was long, actually.
Yeah.
When I wasn't used to it, I'd been off for six. And then 10% of 3 miles is 0.3 miles.
Yeah.
So it's my second week of running a 3.3 mile run.
Yeah.
That seems like it'd be months and months and months.
Right.
Coming back.
So it's a patient's issue, essentially.
Yeah. It is, actually.
Yeah.
It's one of those, perhaps, metaphors.
Yeah.
Basically, I just kind of got up to about 7 or 8 fairly quickly, and now I'm doing the 10% rule.
Yeah.
So
you slightly jumped the queue on yourself.
A bit.
Did you notice any negative? Did you feel it hurting when you did that?
You know what? I did feel it hurting a little bit.
Yeah.
But at the same time... I don't know if this is wrong, but I can't see myself telling the doctor about it.
So that's it. You think if you don't tell the doctor, then that injury doesn't really count.
Well, I feel like you have to be quite careful and not give them something that's...
Oh, God.
...gonna... Wow, it is so much. Oh my God, the smell of tar! I love the smell of tar.
That's so evocative, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is the bridge. Oh look, they're fixing it. I'm going to get a picture of that. This is the bridge over the Lee River, which me and Paul got just before they fixed it. Good work, guys. We're not getting you, we're getting the bridge. Although, give us a big smile, of course. That's going to be good. Exactly where there's blame, there's a claim. I tell you what, you saw what the bridge was like before. It's less likely to be accidents now. It's like blooming three Billy Goats Gruff up there before. Yeah. Cheers. Yeah, have you run across there?
Yeah.
Oh, that was terrifying.
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
I did. I did fall in the... me and a couple of goat mates of mine fell in the river there. Luckily, we...
Say that again, please.
Oh, I'm trying to set up a terrible troll joke and I'm not going to do it. I tried to do a joke about the three Billy Goats Gruff online.
I'm no good for this, sorry.
I don't think you don't can take jokes. The blame for this. So, you are in so many... This is, like you say, something we should talk to listeners about, because even with the excellent NHS coverage, you're basically stuck between your injury, the treatment of your injury, and the fact that you want to be running.
Yeah, but that plays in so bad, because, do you know what? It's a bit naff to be just kind of... I feel it's a bit naff to be like, I want to be faster all the time. And,
yeah.
You know, it's coming from a pressure of like... That book you gave me as well, which is a brilliant book, but 10 things... What was it? It's not 10 things I know about running. Everything I know about running.
It's what I think about when I think about running.
Yeah.
Murakami.
But I really got a sense of like, oh, how lucky you are to be able to run.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That can go too far. And you can be thinking, well, I must use every run to be faster.
Yeah, you kind of owe it to yourself and you don't know
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, someday I won't be able to run.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, I guess, it's true, but also it could rob you of a bit of the joy. So this stage where you're just plodding along and just doing it for its own sake is probably the thing that you get the most good out of.
It's the human battle, isn't it?
Yeah.
We constantly try and take the run. Basically, the run appeals to our sort of physical self, our ego. And then our id comes on board and says, oh, that's interesting. Let's get an app on that, see how fast we're going. Maybe we can improve on that. And as you can see, we're enjoying our life. So we should, you know what I mean? It just suddenly that side of ourselves is getting the spreadsheet out and the essential primal joy is lost.
Yeah.
Let's go this way.
You spend your day on Strava analysing the stats.
Yeah.
What did I do that segment in?
We're still avoiding
Strava. It's great. I do love that as well.
Do you know, I don't know if I haven't heard anything about it recently, but I think there's a unauthorised running commentary Strava that hasn't got running commentary on it, where people who do use Strava and follow running commentary can talk to each other but not asked about their Strava runs.
I wonder, would I be allowed into that?
Well, don't ask
me. Of course I would. I'm not Paul and Rob.
You do what you
like.
You're your own woman, you're free.
Yeah.
But the flames of this were fed by Paul, who said, I'll be on Strava soon for quite a long time back there. And I never thought he would. People kept coming online and saying, when's Paul going to be on Strava? And I'd say, on the 12th. And they say, well, what do you mean? I was like, the 12th, 12th and never.
But he's such a... I feel like sometimes Paul is like... He's closer to runner than human in his DNA.
Yeah. He's such a natural runner. I think, in fact, I think... he's such a natural runner that he isn't quite aware of what a natural runner he is.
Yeah, so he's more running than Strava is. Strava needs to join.
Strava wishes it was Tomkinson.
Yeah.
Now this, we just got back onto the grassy bit of Honey Marshes, and after many, many months of having a big fake road and waterworks, I think they're going home. It's still here, but they've taken their temporary road away.
Yeah.
And they've left blue fences instead of orange ones. I still can't wait for them to go, because I absolutely love the giant, big sky purity of Hackney Marshes. It's been really important to me in lockdown.
Yeah.
And this just spoils it, really.
I know, yeah. The summer was really good. Although I have to say I was a bit nervous coming down here this morning because of the... I think I've got a bit spoilt up in the park, Victoria Park.
Yep.
Which has, you know, toilets every 100 metres. And coffee if you want to stop for a coffee.
Right, so you can basically do liquid in, liquid out.
Yeah.
Yeah, this hasn't got that.
Not at all. You're on your own.
So what are you leaning more towards? The coffee or the expulsion of yesterday's coffee?
I don't know.
No comment.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, just took a... So lovely that summer is beginning, but I just took an insect to the mouth. It's all protein, right?
Yeah. First beads of sweat now are running down my face, which I've been clocking that they start about a mile in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good spot.
It's a bit...
I think it's different, depends on weather conditions as well, though, doesn't it? I like these conditions, this kind
probably
of...
Does.
It's, humid makes it sound really hot, like a jungle. It's not that. It's warm, temperate, but sort of grey and just with a sense of, quite moist air.
Yeah.
That's a great feeling.
It's a lovely breeze.
You do sweat more in that.
Yeah.
Was that a beep of 1 mile?
I think it probably was, yeah.
Nice,
it sounds
good
like it
skills.
Was,
you said we must have gone a mile and then you beeped.
Yeah.
That's impressive. You're more Strava than Strava. You're like a Tonkins.
No, I don't think so.
It was just an email from a comedy
provider. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to talk about something that I often pussyfoot around talking about, which is I've got terrible guts. I need to see a gastroenterologist, which is difficult just in terms of syllables.
Yeah.
And also difficult to, you know, you've got to get a reference from a GP, and our GP, you're not allowed to get appointments anymore. They've got a system that says, we've made it much easier. And the website says, we're changing to a new system in April 2018 to make it much easier. Yeah, great. Very efficient.
Thank you, guys.
But part of my fear, the reason I've been thinking this, is because of what you said. You just think you're going to go there and they're going to say, stop running. They're just going to tell me to, change my diet in some way. And I really don't feel like that's it. And I suppose you can't second guess it until you see the doctor.
I know, yeah. Could it be... I know people who have problems with dairy.
Yeah, well, I don't have...
Of course, you know dairy. So what is your diet then?
Well, I'm basically vegan, and I... 16-8, so I take however long it's 16... How long is it? 16-8, isn't it? 16 hours, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I take 16 hours off eating every day. And I think it really helps. I think sometimes, obviously, my diet's a little bit high fibre. Like, I can tell if I've had loads of fresh vegetables in a meal.
Sure.
And, but that's just like, this is the normal end of digestion, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sort of seeing through that through the lens of my inability to digest properly anyway. And it's a really long-term problem. It's getting worse. And keep moaning about it. You know,
you have to see somebody.
Who knows what's going on in there?
Yeah. In the food project that I do some...
Oh, yeah, tell us about this. No, I know about this, but Anna's been volunteering. You tell us.
Yeah, so a few months into lockdown, it started to seem like comedy wasn't taking up all of my time.
What?
Yeah. so I've been looking around for some volunteering, you know, introduce a new social aspect to my life. And I was eventually emailed, got a response from a vegan food organization called Made in Hackney. And their story is...
I think some people will be listening thinking, only in Hackney, yeah. Only in Hackney.
Well, I'm not vegan, so...
Yeah, right. Yeah,
not even vegan, I'm still doing it.
Yeah, you're like one of those police who infiltrated those organisations back in the old days.
Exactly, yeah.
You just pretended to be vegan for 3 years, started a relationship,
had a couple child of kids. With somebody, yeah.
And all the time, I was just sneaking out and eating burgers.
Yeah. And now the government are coming to protect me from all the complaints. So basically, they were a community food kitchen. So they did cooking lessons, vegan cooking classes.
Yep.
But I guess with a kind of a organisational goal of, you know, improving the...
It's gone here.
Nutrition, people's nutrition and people's knowledge of nutrition.
Yeah, right.
In the borough of Hackney, I guess.
Yeah.
But then,
only in Hackney.
When the pandemic came, they couldn't do classes. So what they've been doing is a meal delivery service, where every Tuesday and Thursday they cook 600 meals.
Right.
Three different kind of meals. So 200 of each. And those meals are then delivered via cyclist pairings.
Right.
To houses, residential homes in Hackney.
Yeah.
And I guess the idea is that the people who get it are... from a lot of different, I guess, walks of life, but in that situation they were vulnerable. People who had to stay home, couldn't work.
So it's kind of like a community vegan lockdown meals on wheels.
Yeah, yeah, that's good,
on bike wheels?
On bikes. So what they need in that situation for the pairings is somebody with a cargo bike,
right,
who can take crates of food, and then that person also needs a cycle buddy to accompany them and stay with the bike, or somebody to stay with the bikes.
Oh, I see, because of the stopping and starting.
When you're going into apartment buildings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was a cycle buddy and still am. But then they needed help in the back room doing the packing of the crates and everything.
Which, so, I suppose, is subject to all kinds of lockdown rules.
Yes, very much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we, you know, obviously sanitize, because the food that I, whatever I touch, is going to be in somebody's home.
Yeah. These are my favourite trees, by the way, on the marshes.
They're excellent trees.
They're cherry trees. I was daydreaming the other day, they're in blossom at the moment, that someone dropped cherry pips here once, and that's why they're here. Oh. I used to have we had a cherry tree in our back garden when I was growing up, which was grown from a pip. And then my mum and dad put a treehouse in it for me, which is a lovely story, but it should be noted from here that that tree was not big enough for a treehouse. Particularly a treehouse with quite a tubby little boy in it.
Where is it?
Sometimes dancing to Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Is it at your mum's house?
No, it's long ago. They moved away. Let's stay on the marshes.
Yeah.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So, you're in the back room.
I'm in the back room now. Labeling food. That's another thing people, you have to be very careful of, because they, obviously, food allergies are, you know, very dangerous.
Yes.
And so you've got to put all the ingredients and then label it with whatever allergens could be in it.
Just to do with the preparation environment and stuff like that.
All that, yeah. And then there's no premises for it. So it's been facilitated by lots of different bars and restaurants around Hackney,
right,
which weren't open themselves, but allowed the organisation to come in
and use
their kitchen.
Clever.
Yeah. So at the moment, it's in quite a swanky bar called the Queen of Hoxton down in Shoreditch.
Do you ever kind of take, unfortunately, long breaks and kind of sit out the front mixing up cocktails? Yeah, it's really nice that we're able to do this community spirited.
Yeah, it is quite, because there has been some crossover the last few months, because they have a roof garden that people have been, punchers have been coming to. So we're preparing like jollof rice and red stew to go out. But then there's a barman beside us taking out of his little oven very thinly sliced limes and strawberries to put in his drinks.
Yeah, there's a couple of different demographics represented there.
Exactly, yeah.
That's excellent. So,
it's been great though.
Yeah, and you were saying you were reminded of that by my guts. So, do you think that a lot of people are on plant-based diets for good health reasons rather than...
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Going back to what you were saying about comedy not being quite so such a vibrant, ongoing job in the last little while.
I know,
Is that this is a luxurious conversation for us to be able to have, because the first step of this conversation in any comedy club would be any vegetarians are, 2 weeks to put their arms up in the
air. I know, yeah.
Or whatever else it might be.
Yeah, oh look, they can't even put up their arms. Yeah. Watch that Seaspiracy as well the other night.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's another push in the direction.
Tell me about Seaspiracy.
It's a doc in kind of Netflix style.
Yeah.
Very, I guess, a young guy. He's out to figure out what he can do and what's happening with the oceans.
Right.
And he comes to quite a controversial conclusion.
Yeah.
And he does seem to be putting in the effort to not come to it. But
he
gets there. It's like eating fish is terrible. you can't support the fishing industry in any kind of ethical way.
Right. It's interesting, isn't it? Because of course the fishing industry has been
hey guys,
how small and nice these dogs are. I had kind of a terrible fright there. I suddenly thought it was like a wolf attack, just a really friendly little black dog going after a boar.
That's really
mind fun. You, those two women were walking 18 dogs, so that is that will.
I thought I recognised one of those dogs there.
I've been looking at dog of your acquaintance.
Yeah, no, I've been.
When you caught his eye, did it look embarrassed and look away?
I've kind of been on dog tinder lately. Or the internet, whatever the version is, but basically
dog tinder is growler it's called.
Yeah. I've been on websites looking at dogs that need homes, right. And one of those dogs looked like a dog I saw that needed a home.
The dog you swiped left on just the other day.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Tinder. I literally don't know if I got that the right way around. But
No, that was right.
So you're going to get a dog?
Well,
wait a minute. Have you been looking after vegan dogs?
No.
Pay attention, Rob.
That would be. Yeah, that wouldn't be good, would it?
No, I don't know. Chocolate is vegan and dogs can't have it. I don't know much about dogs, I'll be honest.
No, I don't think you make your chocolate vegan.
Well, yeah, I was saying about the oceans are very much at the forefront, aren't they? Because just in terms of kind of ethical, you know, for decades it's been Save the Whales.
Yeah.
And that's valid, you know. And then there was that terrifying documentary about with the cove. And there was all dolphin-free tuna.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, fishing is still very much at the forefront of Brexit. I mean, there was a little light war military action around Jersey the other day.
Yeah.
And the government's kind of obsessed with it in a way that in our community has been quite shocking, because the fishing rights and everything are really at the absolute forefront just at the moment, when they just seem to not bother thinking about media and the arts.
Yeah.
Much at all, you know.
I think if you were a Brexit fisherman, you would not like this duck. No.
I think it sounds to me like if you're involved in the fishing industry in any way, it's not really what you'd want to hear.
Well, yeah, it's tough. You've got to come in from all angles.
Yeah.
Basically.
Coming from all angles.
Angles.
Come on. I'm pleased with that one. Well, it is, you know, they say that a plant-based diet is better for the environment, but then at a closer level, it's also all tied up with class war, isn't it? Because your vegan food, it's expensive, because it's all to do with what you can charge, you know? So people in various walks of life don't have the option to have the vegan cheese, because it costs 3 times as much as the real cheese.
Yeah.
And same goes for chicken.
Yeah.
Cheap chicken, which again is ethically and, you know, deeply questionable, but on the other hand, a really good source of dinner for lots of people.
But they really need to figure that out, because people have to be able to eat cheaply.
Yeah.
Going forward, so
that's right.
That's like work out, and Maiden Hackney actually are doing that.
Yeah.
Working out how to eat vegan food.
Yeah.
In a practical way.
Wasn't it? And one of the supermarkets said just the
other
day.
Which I'm not doing, by the way, everyone.
Yeah, and straight after this is having a steak. So don't worry, all viewpoints represented.
Yeah.
But one of the supermarkets the other day said they were going to just completely reprice the whole vegan option, so it wasn't just for middle-class elitists.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just kind of trusting that I will get a shock someday, and I'll be like, oh, this is awful, and that'll be it. But if I try and do it as a punishing thing.
Yeah.
I guess I feel like I won't stick to it.
No, exactly. It's a bit like, it's like anything healthy, isn't it? You don't want to do it as a kind of, you don't want it to be a stick you hit yourself with.
Yeah, exactly.
You want it to be natural flow. I mean, I was,
how did you, yeah? How'd
25 you get years ago, I was a little bit sick of hearing myself say, I'd be a vegetarian if I could be bothered. And I was also a little bit sick of seeing exactly how many McDonald's burgers I was putting away. And I mean, it was a lot. So I kind of had a put your money where your mouth is moment with myself.
Yeah.
And I went vegetarian and stayed with it. And I was a pretty unhealthy vegetarian for decades. Initially, when I was a comedian, that was the joke. You know, when they say put your hands up, I, a fairly strong, hale and definitely overweight young man, would be backstage sticking my hand up with some further, because Because you know what's a vegetarian meal? A pizza with loads of cheese on it. You know?
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the way forward. Anyway, and then Mickey D was vegan for running.
Mickey D, yes.
And he's such a fierce runner and such a, you know.
He's an incredible runner.
Yeah, and very sort of fierce, you know, like me, someone prone to make fairly black and white decisions about what they're going to do with their life.
And he quit drinking as well, didn't he?
Exactly. And he kind of swapped an addiction, you know, addictions to substances to an addiction to running, you know.
Yeah.
And in that process, he said, "Oh, vegan, it's great, it feels great." He told the story, though, about doing an ultra, and someone gave him some beef jerky. And he was like, "It's the best thing I've ever eaten." And I didn't realise for ages, but that's the story he was telling me, is that sometimes on an ultra when you're vegan and someone offers you some beef jerky,
take it.
Suddenly you're not vegan anymore. Anyway, so that was his thing. But I thought, I'm going to try it for a month. And like, everyone's got those things they're kind of married to. You know, I just thought, well, I'm sure I'm really going to miss eggs. And, you know, we've got that lovely recipe where we bake the camembert and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I thought, I'd do it for a month. I literally thought, I'll have this baked camembert on Halloween. I'll take November off meat and dairy. And then meat and dairy, and because I was already vegetarian. And then, let's go left. I'll be able to get back on it and have my baked camembert again on Christmas Day.
Right.
That was the plan. And I did that November, and I just felt so good. And I didn't miss anything, and I just found myself repositioning, you know, just sensibly seeking out my proteins through leguminous stuff like hummus and avocados. And that's the thing, you see, it always sounds so middle class, doesn't it? But and I just, it worked, and I just stayed with it. But the reason I tell that whole story is because of what you said. It was like I was very gentle on myself. Do you know what I mean? There was no
stress. Yeah, it came unforced.
Yeah. And I did it for running and found that I liked it for life. So that was good. But I think that when it comes to, aside from the wider world and the issues, I think the issue with healthy eating at a personal level is you've just got to have a good relationship with food, haven't you? Sometimes that means rules. And sometimes that means saying yes to the beef jerky.
Yeah.
You've just got to try and be good to yourself.
I know, yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily mean treating yourself and vice versa, you know?
Yeah. And your bar does come up, I think. The way, like when I was in my 20s, I had such a bad diet, but I used to really hate myself for it. Like, I was really hard.
Yeah.
I was like, look at all these other people. They can eat salads. Why can't you eat a salad? But now I like salads.
Yeah, that's right.
And I didn't realise that. That was.
Yeah, you thought that when you did eventually get into salad, it was just because of real strictness.
Because I would be a pure, you know, very puritanical person.
Yeah.
I'd just relax. Relax, would you?
No, that's it. It's funny to get older, because the other side of that is that when we're young, we're so. I mean, bring that conversation full circle. You know, we're so. These injuries, your foot, my gut, Paul's calf.
Yeah.
You know, these are things we need to deal with as grown-ups. And when you're younger, you're like, I might punch myself in the face for a couple of hours. Then the next day you get up, it's like nothing happened. You know, we're like little bouncy balls. And it's very difficult to learn what's sensible when there's no impetus, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it just doesn't work until it works.
That's right. No, that's right. I was talking to, here goes a big tractor. I was talking to Bad Boy Running yesterday. And they were passing on a question. Someone was saying, where would you be? He was trying to get me and you in that. I've gone to square, damn it. Trying to get me and you in the tractor there. That's quite a tough shot to get. There it is. Someone was asking where I would be if I hadn't found running. And it's a totally reasonable question, because you asked me, you know, months before I started running, what my life was going to be like in the future, I wouldn't have mentioned it, you know?
Yeah.
But from here, of course running. I was always going to be running. It comes when it comes. And similarly, I'm never sad about it. When we did the UK run chat conversation, there was other people on the same page as me getting into it at 35 plus or whatever, saying, oh, I wish I'd discovered it earlier. So I don't wish I'd discovered it earlier. Because like you said, I would have rejected it.
Yeah.
It's just, it works when it works.
Yeah.
It's Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Like, how come you can take your hands out of the handcuffs now and you couldn't before?
Yeah.
It wasn't funny before.
When I was a kid, we used to go for these running meetings. My dad used to just laugh so much at us. Because we were fast runners.
Yeah.
But we would always just try and do some training just on the morning of the race.
Yeah.
And we would all be running out in the background garden. And that's where I learned the phrase, oh, closing the door, closing the stable door after the horse is bolted. That's what he used to like to say.
You've got a very cheeky look from the tree guy in the van. I think I'm in there.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He was like, the guy in that first van looked like Orlando Bloom. And he looked at me like this.
Why wouldn't he?
Yeah, well, that's true.
Such a... driving a van around a field in almost sunshine.
It's just freedom, isn't it? It's just experiencing freedom.
Yeah.
Like Napoleon Dynamite's aunt on that quad bike. It's a pretty obscure film reference I pulled out there. So, yeah, looking, shutting the stable door after the horse has bolted.
Yeah. Yeah. That was him. But yeah, it's just...
because you were trying to train.
I just didn't have the kind of... your mind is kind of at a different place or space.
Yeah.
Not able.
No, completely. I think that it's, we've got to really respect how when you're younger, particularly like teenagers, but not just teenagers, their perspective on this stuff is so different, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's very easy for us to see the magnitude of a task and in such a way that you can still reduce it. You know, you can say to yourself, for example, yeah, I'm going to do a marathon, I'm going to train for a marathon.
Yeah.
Whereas my kids, who are really smart and well-educated in the ways of the world, if you said to them, you're training for a marathon, there's going to be a training plan, then you're going to do a marathon, and tomorrow you've got to run a mile, then that next day they'd be putting the trainers on going, I can't run a mile. And they can't, you know, that is where the whole conceptual relationship is going to sit. The size and shape of the task at hand is the thing that's least available. And with teenagers, what they've got instead is big ideas, you know, original thinking, a kind of social elasticity as they shift from one thing to next and kind of respond and grow. But they're not able to be as boring as us.
Yeah, which is... boring is our strength.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the older we get, the better we get.
At being boring.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's why the Pet Shop Boys failed, because they were never being boring. They should have been a bit more boring. So, I feel like I should explain. I feel bad for Eleanor, dear listener, because made this decision that we go around Hackney Marshes twice, but we didn't do any of it the same the second time.
That's right, yeah.
So you might have heard me saying, oh, go left here, go there. So we went along the river, which was exciting but quite challenging. And then we went through the woods past these strange blue fences. And then the second time we kind of stayed on the grass all the way around.
Yeah.
It's been
nice. We've done 96K, I think.
Very good. And we're coming back to the beginning. So, well, before we reach our bicycles, I will say...
Let's slow down so we can pull on.
That's a good idea.
This bit of chat.
First of all, we won't do any PBs this week because there's just one PB to celebrate, so I'm just going to tell you about it now. But Peter Cummings, this is quite interesting, him and his mates in Scotland, we're going to do the Stirling Marathon, but it's postponed to October, 30th of May the 9th.
All right.
So him and some friends did it anyway. And they did loops of the Falkirk Helix. And no, I don't know exactly what that means.
Yeah.
But they did their own marathon. And he did it in 3 hours, 31 minutes, 33 seconds.
Whoa.
And that's a PB.
Oh, man.
10 minutes faster than his last Yorkshire Marathon. And I'm not going to be the person who says, and you're absolutely sure you went far enough.
So 3 minutes 31.
3 hours 31.
3 hours 31 is 210 minutes for 26 miles. Is that less than 9 minute miles?
I think it might be less than it's.
Whoa.
Yeah.
The whole way.
It might be less than 8 minute miles. So it's, I can do this maths in my head, but why don't you look it up, guys?
yeah.
Because, 8 minute miles is.
210 divided by 26.
Now you're in the maths.
Yeah.
But also, the other person I've got to mention. Oh, it's two. There's more people. Right, this is all in my brain.
No, it's well under 9 minute miles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, not 9 minute miles.
Yeah.
Not at all.
8.5.
Well, 8 miles.
Yeah.
10 miles at 8 minute miles is 80 minutes. So, two of those is 240.
Fuck.
Three of those is 240. It's fast.
Yeah. Okay, Peter. Okay.
There was the Aintree half marathon was at the weekend. Talking of fast runners, Mark Boosie did his second fastest half marathon, 1 hour 38:53. And a friend of mine from Liverpool, Chris Murphy, did it in 1 hour 22. And was going, damn, I didn't get under 80 minutes. It's like, Chris, give yourself a break. It just goes to show everyone's got a different perspective. But we've got to, have we talked before? I think my friend talked to you about this when it was me, you and Paul running. Our friend Michelle Woodcock, she has been lining up for like a year and a half now to do the Breathay 10 in 10, which is 10 marathons in 10 days. And then between injury and lockdown, her training period just became near infinite. And just recently she did her final marathon training run. She's going out running marathons to train in Cumbria for ages. Anyway, it starts this Friday. She got 10 marathons in 10 days from this, if you're hearing this episode on Friday, from today. And it's very exciting.
Does she post about it online?
Yeah, she did a blog about it the other day, and she's been doing good posts, so check it out, Michelle Woodcock. And and I'm sure you'll be listening to this now, Michelle. I'm sorry that me and Ella couldn't go out and do, 10 marathons in a podcast for you, but this one is dedicated to you and your attempt, and let us know how it goes. And but what about you? What are you going to be doing next, running-wise?
I'll do a race, I think. I hope maybe towards the end of summer I'll be kind of... I'll get tired of this kind of like plodding along.
Yeah, and, right.
I'll feel a bit lighter, I think. I think I feel a bit heavy in myself at the moment.
Yeah, do you mean like just sort of like psychologically, essentially?
Yeah, but that does come from... I am heavier.
Right. So, I'm just projecting there because I feel heavy too. And I'm always the same weight.
All
like
right.
Really, for better or worse, unlike any other time in my life.
Yeah.
Every Monday I weigh myself after a run. It's always the same. But I would say at the moment I feel sluggish and heavy. It's,
right, yeah.
I don't know. You know what the other explanations are.
Yeah.
Psychology, hormones, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I toy with, like, people who do marathons. It's just... How do you do it?
I don't know. It's eminently possible, but it is hard. That's the kind of fun of it, and that's the purity of it. You know, it doesn't matter. You can't. There's no trick.
Mm.
You just get fit enough to do it, and then you do it. You know, and then in my experience, you sort of get nearly fit enough to do it, and then you do it, and then you just that 10% you were talking about is the bit where you go. Sod it, in for a penny, in for a pound. I've got to finish this thing now. You know?
Yeah, just take it in your own hands.
That could just be my lack of pacing and training. It's amazing how little marathon knowledge I have after doing a bunch of them. I just keep going back and banging my head against that wall.
What about you? What are you going to do?
Well, I'm doing 2 marathons. I'm doing Yorkshire and then London 2 weeks later in the autumn is the idea, so that Paul can coach me to a speedy Yorkshire and then we can toddle around in London. But we'll see. We'll see how his injuries are going. And maybe you'd be interested in the Olympic Park 10K in the middle of July. That's what I'm doing, that one.
Oh,
that's my next event.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like it's the timing might...
Well, it's just over there.
It's just there.
And I'm doing the pre-London Marathon half, which is in August, and I've got to look into doing the Great North Run as well.
Right, okay, so from 10K in July to 13...
In late August,
in
September.
Late August, 13 miles,
to 26.2
yeah.
in October.
Okay, yeah, that's a progression.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Maybe you should try it.
Oh, nerves! Yeah.
I didn't know whether you said nerves or nurse. Works both ways.
It kind of does, yeah. Yeah, I would like to. That sounds very good.
There you go, that's the plan. We'll do it.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.